This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala. It's 3 o'clock, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
We're going to try not to. That's for sure. Good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It is it's March 18th. It's 2021.
Yeah.
Michael K. Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, but we're together, all of us, for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. And what a beautiful start to an important show. Today is the first day for voting for the first round of Drop Madness, which is presented by Wendy's. And that's what I mean by a beautiful start to the day, because I guess at my house at about 1:30, a huge delivery of Wendy's came to the house.
Yeah.
Wendy came herself. It was amazing. Don, the same thing. And then Peter, and it was just, it was a bacchanal of Wendy's. It was
amazing.
I'm going
to tell you this right now. I don't take these words lightly. You can trust a man with a mustache like mine. The jalapeno popper sandwich they have going on. Don, did you have it?
Yes.
How would you describe it?
In a word.
Fabulous.
It was just like, that's the same feeling you would have from getting to drop Michael.
Right. Drop. Yeah.
But it
would
was
fabulous.
It was so good. The taste of the jalapeno popping with the crispy chicken. And Don, what was that white creamy sauce that was on it?
I'm assuming it was like a Chipotle type of, because it wasn't just mayonnoise.
No, it was something else.
There was something going on there.
It's all encompassing.
Now, hold on. Now, Michael, this is very interesting.
Yep.
We've been talking about the new you.
Right.
And how you're going to be willing to try different things.
Right.
So today, our friends at Wendy's, they brought a Baconator. They brought a jalapeno popper sandwich, French fries chili, the jalapeno popper salad.
Yep.
Did you try anything different? Did you push yourself at all? Or did you eat the French fries?
No, I had chicken nuggets and fries, and Jody devoured the chicken sandwich. She said it was unbelievable how good it was.
Unbelievable.
And the children will get home from school shortly, and they're going to devour it. But, you know, the only complaint I would have, and you really can't complain when people are doing nice things, they put full ointment on all of their sandwiches, which is, I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah, I understand. But I got to tell you that the jalapeno popper sandwich had cheese on it, and I'm not a cheese guy, but I fought through it. Because it was good.
This was a special
moment, because let's face it, we've been around the block, the three of us, right? And we've seen our share of food. So it's hard to really be impressed visually by food.
Right.
But like, Nancy's not a big fast food girl, and she's never seen or even understand the concept of the Baconator.
Mm.
So to see the look on her face of just shock and awe of seeing the Baconator with the two patties and the bacon spilling out of the side, and
it was
a lot for somebody that
emotionally
I would think that was the look on the face of like the Scottish back in the day, like during Braveheart when they saw the first castle, right? When the first when people gathered around in the 30s and witnessed the Empire State Building for the first time. When the Wright brothers actually caught wind and stayed in the air. Like
now,
that level.
Now, listen, I don't want to come off here as too much of a shill. Because I see we have
that's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
What? You mean if you do 4 minutes of promo for Wendy's, you don't get to say that at the end?
No.
But listen, here's the thing, though. We're not getting cash for this. All we got was this delightful food delivered. And let me tell you, this iced coffee, I didn't get a Frosty, did you?
Yeah, yes. Four of them.
I got
four
no Frosties.
Yeah.
Now, I'm upset about no Frosties. But
now you'll stop the commercial.
Oh, this is the Frosty Chino?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Frosty Chino. This thing is a delight. I want to kiss Wendy.
Enough promo for Wendy's. It was a Wendy's orgy. Let's put it that way. speaking of an orgy, an offensive orgy for the Rangers yesterday, Don, and you called all nine goals.
Yes. I did have a little bit.
There was history being made.
Of a sore throat driving home.
Oh, really? It was that.
Well, because
wild.
It didn't have, you know, because you've called blowouts, Michael, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And usually you get to the point where, as the Yankees are tacking on the 15th and 16th run, you're not exactly making it seem like they just won the World Series. But when seven of the goals are scored in the second period, one shy of a franchise record that they scored eight against California, the Golden Seals, back in 1971, and when Mika Zibanejad's got a natural hat trick and ends up with 6 points, only the second NHL player ever do that, along with Brian Trottier, ironically enough, did it against the Rangers in 78, the goals have significance. So you want to emphasize the significance of the goal, not just adding to a blowout, but just the historic perspective in which it's happening and the rapid fire in which it's happening and the shock, because this is not a bad Flyer team, was pretty amazing to be a part of. It was cool.
We'll talk more about it a little bit later on. Also, today's important, as I mentioned, at 4:20, you get your first opportunity to vote for the first round of Drop Madness. So that's
exciting.
And there
is controversy.
I'll tell you what, I took a good long look at the seedings. There's so many things. Like when Peter had a malfunction of the brain and couldn't say my name, how's that not one of the 16 in the Peter bracket?
Well, and I like a lot of guys.
Yeah, how's that not?
Oh, and Andrew's the sexy man.
Yeah, Andrew dropped the ball on this. I'm sorry.
Well, he put a lot of work
into it. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I put a lot of work into some test in high school that I failed. You fail sometimes. Even if you put the work in, you fail.
You think he failed?
I think he failed miserably.
That's
no, because I've had it.
Strong to say he failed. For something, it is going to just be unbelievable to say that he failed. But, hey, part of March, you know, Drop Madness or a list is when there's a little controversy. You know, stir it up a little bit. Get some conversation going.
This is worse than leaving Louisville out. Let's just put it that way.
I will fight you after this show.
Well, you might have to. Don, before we move on to our opening topic, I do want you to explain, because you got to explain it to me, because I'm a hockey novice. They call me HN when I go to Ranger games.
Wow.
What is, my friend, a natural hat trick?
When your hat trick comes on three consecutive goals.
Interesting. And that's what happened with little Mika.
And he's the first Ranger, or he's the first player to do it three different ways, even strength, power play, shorthanded since 2012. Milan Mihalik did it for the Senators, but he did it into an empty net twice. The last time a goaltender was beaten, Rene Bork of the Flames in 09.
Now, I have an inherent problem with hockey point totals, and you're going to jump me for this, and you're going to say I'm an idiot. I don't think an assist should be the same as a point. It should be the same as a goal. A goal should be more valuable than an assist.
I got bad news. You're not going to change it.
No, you're not.
I know I'm not,
it.
But it bothers me because I think scoring a goal is harder than just assisting on
but
one.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing.
Especially a second assist.
There are a lot of times where the assist is more impressive than the goal. And I think I can bring Peter in the conversation. There were plenty of times that Lemieux did amazing things and Kevin Stevens just had his stick in the right place and scored the goal, where you're like,
yep,
you know what? I almost don't even want to give a point to Stevens. Like, 3 points should go to Lemieux for what he did.
Right. So it does go the other way, you're saying, Don.
Yeah. So this, hey, it's a point. That's just the way it goes. Now,
I like
the
it.
Secondary assist sometimes is like, all right, what did I exactly do here? But, you know, you're not going to sit there and judge each one of them and award points on skill.
I think I would. They've got the time.
It's hockey, man.
All right, free agent signing. Boy, this falls under the heading, How the Mighty Have Fallen. I believe that Mitch Trubisky was the second pick in the draft after the Bears moved up, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just signed a free agent contract, 1 year deal with the Bills, which pretty much ensures that he's a backup. So you go from the second pick in the draft to backing up a guy who was picked after you. Wow.
That's right. Well, I'm not sure when he was mighty. I guess draft day.
Yeah. Well, he was mighty enough that they picked him before Patrick Mahomes.
Right, but when
it's
you
amazing
say the mighty
that
have
the
fallen,
GM has a job still.
Yeah, that's a tough pick. That really. And you're right. If he starts a game, it's going to be because something happened to the starting quarterback. There'll never be a decision that we're better off if we start Mitch Trubisky. I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. And it involves the Jets, and that's why we're going to start off talking about it. It involves the Jets. The Jets, I would think, are firmly in the middle of the Deshaun Watson situation where if the Texans decide to trade him, it's obvious the Jets could give the best package because they've got the number two pick in the draft. They have two first-rounders. They have a lot of second and third. They have a first-rounder. They've got a lot of collateral to send to the Texans if Deshaun Watson is, in fact, made available. To this point, the Texans have said he's not available. Now, it becomes a little bit murkier. If you're a team that desperately wants Deshaun Watson, are you going to make a trade for a guy who has been accused of these heinous acts? And I'm sorry, you've got to investigate these acts. Are you a team that's willing to give up all that the Jets would have to give up or any team would have to give up when these kind of accusations are hanging over the head of Deshaun Watson? If any of them are true, he's a non-player. He's not even going to be able to suit up for an NFL team. I mean, at this point, the Texans, we've heard all these rumors, and that's all they are. Well, what if the Texans are behind? Well, that would be asinine. If they're behind it, what they've done is they completely devalued their most important asset. So, forget it if they expect him to be their quarterback or if, they don't want to trade him. I don't think you can trade him now. What team is going to – the only team that I could think that is secure enough and has enough of a go-take-a-walk attitude would be the Patriots. Oh, we'll take our chance. But, I mean, the accusations, which are coming fast and furious at this guy, they're serious accusations, and you can't say that there's no validity. No. You've got to listen to the people that say something happened to them. That's the way the world is. That's the way it should be. So this guy now is really got something hanging over his head. I don't know if you could make a deal for him.
I don't know how you do it. Now, again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but these charges have to be taken seriously. To the point that if you're going to invest a lot of draft capital in making a trade, you have to then go under the assumption that he's guilty, and how do we handle it if that ends up being the case? And what if he gets suspended by the NFL? Now, if you look at it and say, I think we can handle it. I think we've got a strong enough room here. I think I can live with him maybe not playing the first month of the season or whatever, because, listen, you're trading for him not just for 2021. You're trading for him, you hope for, the length of the contract and beyond. The only way you would do it is to say, all right, if he ends up being guilty of all these charges, can he still play for us?
Well, that's a hard thing to do. If he's guilty of any of these charges, Don, he's not playing this year. He's not playing.
No, that's not true. If it's a civil one for the thing in the massage parlor, you think he wouldn't play?
Oh, he definitely would be suspended. I'm not sure if the civil one would give you a full suspension, but the other ones that aren't civil complaints, that's a full year, if not more, if any of that is true. He cannot be acquired. There's no team, even the Patriots, that have enough gravitas or seriousness that you can acquire somebody that has that as over their head.
Actually, and Michael, it says here, according to ESPN, a third civil suit filed against Deshaun Watson accuses him of sexually assaulting a massage therapist and forcing her into oral sex. It's still a civil suit, which I don't really understand.
Well, there's three lawsuits against him.
But they're all civil suits right now.
Right.
So in theory, this league could still let him play.
Well, O.J. Simpson was found innocent in front of a jury of his peers.
Correct.
Then he was found guilty in a civil lawsuit. In the mind of most people in America, he's guilty.
Right.
He can't work. But there's nobody that would give him a job. Even if you're found guilty in a civil lawsuit, you're done.
No, you're not, because, let's just say it goes like Michael Vick, who actually went to prison. He comes back from prison and competes for an MVP. That's what I'm saying. You have to assess, all right, this guy's a great talent. We may lose him for a year, possibly, suspended or whatever, but I'm looking more long term. I think he can come back, and I think he can play for us. That would be on the table. You have to assess that. Maybe there are some teams, like you said, that don't care about PR. They don't care about what people think. They look at it and say, all right, well, eventually he's going to come back and play. I want him playing for us. Work for Vic. How much did Vic miss? And then he comes back and he almost wins an MVP. So he's not done, Michael. It's just that how much are you willing to take to bring him on? Remember, this is a league where we're honestly actually talking about the possibility of the Jets not taking Zach Wilson because he might not be a leader. All right? So certainly general managers are going to look and say, do I want to trade three first-round picks for a guy that might be involved in multiple sexual assault civil lawsuits?
I'm not
there are
lie.
Organizations, Michael, will say, yeah, let's do it.
I'm not going to lie here, and I mean, woe is me. We have great – the three of us have great jobs. We're incredibly blessed. These are not ideal stories to talk about on the radio right now. It's incredibly complex. You're still learning what's happening. As of 48 hours ago, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, we were talking about a guy who was fascinating in his situation with the Texans – because beyond that, he's had a spotless record.
Mm-hmm.
All you heard from anyone, this is the kind of kid you want to lead your team, right? It's all we kept hearing. And then in one day, we hear from this attorney yesterday, sounds like he's got an odd connection to the team, and there's this and there's that. And obviously, we're all taking it in real time. And now we're looking at three different women, all in similar situations, accusing this guy of something. So it's changing so rapidly that all we can basically do is sort of repeat the information that we're seeing and assess whether or not you would want your team to move forward with him. But even that is to pass judgment on the level of what he's being accused of, right, which so we can't do.
The lawyer, Tony Busby, said on Wednesday night that there are six total cases that will come against Watson. Only three have been filed so far. Six. So... you can't ignore that. I'm sorry. If there are that many accusers, you can't ignore it. You can't say that he's guilty, but you can't ignore it.
Right.
You cannot ignore it.
Well, but now you start getting into a weird place, too, where if this turns out to not be true, like at first when you hear that there's one and this lawyer who seems oddly connected, and I said yesterday I blatantly made fun of what he wrote on Facebook. I thought it was weird and out of line for what you're used to hearing lawyers say. All of a sudden, the burden of proof goes from that lawyer to now, if there are six, the burden of proof is completely flipped onto Watson. Because if it's not true, what kind of level of conspiracy would it require for there to be six people with lawsuits?
Right. But the idea is we have to take these allegations seriously.
100%.
So are you ready as an organization to give up a tremendous amount of draft capital to now take on this problem? In a sport where guys take Wonderlic tests, fail, and drop in the draft. So things are taken very seriously. So if you're right now, if you're Joe Douglas, and Houston calls and says, all right, we'll take the three first-round picks, Watson's yours. Do you automatically do it because of the talent? Or do you say, I don't know. Can I afford to do this? Can I afford to send three first-round picks, my future, my draft capital, and then bring a guy in here that might, at the end of the day, have done what he's being accused of doing, and can we have that be our quarterback? And that's what he's going to have to ask himself, and that's what Woody's going to have to ask himself, and everybody in that organization is going to have to ask. And you can understand, Peter, if they say, you know, we'll pass.
I think they're going to pass because it's not going to be resolved in time. I just don't think it's going to be resolved in time. Here's Dan Graziano. He was on Greeny's show. You could hear Greeny from 10 to noon every Monday through Friday right here on 98.7. This is Dan Graziano talking about the allegations against Watson.
Something like this comes up, you obviously, as a team potentially interested in him, have to think about what can we do to find more out. Do we have to wait? Do we have to do our own kind of investigating behind the scenes? Is it a situation where even if the legal case doesn't proceed, you know, could he face league discipline and be suspended for a time? You know, maybe that makes us less likely to pursue him. So all those things, I think, enter the calculations, and it's way too early to know for sure what kind of effect this will all have.
What a mess. I mean, and if he did any of this, and, you know, shame on him, and he should be punished. But, wow, just out of nowhere. As Peter said, and he was dead on. Before all of this thing came out, people looked at him as the paragon of what you'd want representing your team.
It's amazing.
An absolute, genuinely great guy. But we never know what goes on behind closed doors. We have no idea.
And that's why yesterday when we were doing the show live, I'm not going to lie, my original gut was, I hear this lawyer. I know that he's got problems with the Texans. And this is, let's be real, this is an unusual circumstance. A quarterback of this level doing what he's doing, it's now becoming a thing. But historically, there aren't a ton of times when a quarterback at this stage in his career is willing to walk away from the whole thing and put this level of press on the Texans. So I'm thinking, who knows what this could be? This could be some kind of crazy conspiracy theory. You fast forward a full day, we're looking at three different stories. You've read the stories. There's going to be six total. And like I said, the burden of proof is flipped. Now I'm like, well, Deshaun better come up with some sort of way to make this make sense of how you could have that many allegations all not be true.
Now, the guy that's representing Deshaun is Rusty Harden. And sports fans might remember that name. He's the gentleman, the Houston lawyer, that represented Roger Clemens. And Roger Clemens was not found guilty. He's a real tough Texas lawyer. Now, this is what he said. He spoke with Watson Wednesday and then agreed to represent him. Quote, I'm real comfortable with the kind of person that Deshaun Watson is, and I don't like to publicly comment until I get all the facts. He added that the allegations are really inconsistent with the kind of person he is. And I don't think
Did you hear the quote from a player, Michael?
What was that?
There was a quote from an anonymous Texan who basically, I'll pull it up for you in the next segment, the exact language, but it was utter and complete shock. Like, there's absolutely no chance, if there's anyone that could have this accusation about them, it would not be Deshaun Watson.
It's a scary time. Anybody could accuse you of anything, but it just seems weird that six people all of a sudden step up. I mean, is this some coordinated effort, or were there actually six people that felt that they were violated, or that they were? It's just odd. It's
right.
It just throws a completely different lens in the way you look at this guy, because this guy was always looked at in the most pristine manner.
Well, if we've learned anything over the last few years, is that you've got to investigate. You got to let it play itself out. You know, there's a lot of bad people that are wrongly accused, and we don't give them the benefit of the doubt because they're bad, and then vice versa. You still have to let it play out. And that's part of this thing, too. Can a general manager really have the time to let it play out? I mean, it feels like it's early. It's only March. This could be a year before we get any resolution on this. So you have to make a decision if you're the Texans, if you're any other team out there that wants to trade for Watson. Can you afford to kind of predict what's going to happen, or you let it play out? And if you let it play out, then that means nobody touches him and he doesn't play.
That's when he might decide he has to play for the Texans, which would play into the Texans' desire, because they could just turn to him and say, nobody wants you right now. And I think that this has to be resolved, and it'd be very difficult to do it by April 29th. That's when the draft is. And if the Texans are going to get anything that helps their team, they're going to have to get draft capital this year, including picking a quarterback. So once April 29th goes away, what's their urgency to trade him? None. Let him sit for a year then, or he's going to have to come play. This is very, very complicated, everybody. So you join in, 1-800-919-3776. One quick baseball note, and it's not a great note for the Mets. Carlos Carrasco has a hamstring strain. He's undergoing an MRI today. So this is a guy who was shut down for a while because his elbow hurt. And I would think that this hamstring strain would almost ensure you that he will not be able to start the season in the rotation. There's no way. He's not going to be able to get better in time. No matter how bad the hamstring injury is, it's still an injury. Not going to be able to throw with a hamstring injury. He's not going to be around, I'd say, for the month of April. I'd say. That's just a guess. But it doesn't look good. So that's going to be an opportunity for a Peterson, a Lucchese, a Yamamoto. It's there. An opportunity for somebody. Somebody's injury in spring training is always somebody else's opportunity.
That's it.
All right, we'll take a brief timeout. We've got Drop Madness at 4:20. A lot of stuff to talk about. Talk about the big Ranger game yesterday. Jim Harden, now it's a big one. And that's enough. A big one is enough for the Nets. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
At 420, you get your first opportunity to vote for the first round of Drop Madness. I'll tell you what, I took a good long look at the seedings. There's so many things. Like when Peter had a malfunction of the brain.
Michael K.
How's that not one of the 16 in the Peter bracket?
Well, and I like a lot of guys.
Yeah, how's that not?
Oh, and Andrews.
That is a hot guy.
Yeah, Andrew dropped the ball on this. I'm sorry.
Well, that's, he put a lot of work
into I don't care. I put a lot of work into some test in high school that I failed. You fail sometimes. Even if you put the work in, you fail.
You think he failed?
I think he failed miserably.
That's
no, because I've had it.
Strong to say he failed.
The Michael K. Show.
Oh, this is the Frosty Chino.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years now. Let's bring in Andrew for a moment, because I think it's important to engage and not just accuse. So, Andrew, how do you leave out Muggle K and I like guys? How do you do that?
I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I didn't think they were that great. I don't know. It's totally subjective. This is a committee of one, and it's how I felt about them.
It's disgusting what you're saying.
Me Shameful. Or Andrew?
No, Andrew.
Wow.
There's some things here that are really bad.
Look at me.
I like a lot of guys. That's a classic.
You're looking at me, Andrew?
No, I'm not. Right. Somebody tweeted to me that they were surprised that didn't make it, and I was surprised that people felt so strongly about that drop.
I'll believe whatever you say because I love you.
I did not. I have the list here in front of me, Don. Okay. I didn't forget it.
Okay.
That's all I wanted.
I knew that.
You didn't know that.
No, I did. I'm going to tell you why. Because I trust you. But that's what people are thinking, and I want it on record because that's what they're wanting to ask. They're in their cars right now driving home saying, ask him if he forgot. And now you just confirmed that you did not forget, and that's fine because it is subjective. One person's doing this, Michael. We're not helping them.
We help them by giving this brilliant stuff to him every day, mistakes that become gold. And he you know what? If he was one of the 49ers, the people that mine gold, he wouldn't have found anything.
Someone else mentioned one of the early quarantine days when Michael attempted to go to break and it just completely fell apart. You remember that?
That wasn't this year.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. If it was quarantine, it was this year, Don.
The one I'm thinking of was in studio.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Elliott Rosenberg, and you.
That doesn't belong.
No, there was another one.
That's not it.
That's not it.
You know what does belong?
What?
Don behind the mic yesterday in a 9-goal Ranger game. 9-0. So, Don, Twitter brings out the worst in people, except for me. My Twitter is a happy place. It's where people go for happiness. But automatically, they played great because they had the Hartford coaching staff.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people that say stuff like that?
Well, they're not paying attention. Knobloch said it after the game. You know, I will say this. He didn't say it, but he Barry Switzered last night. He just took Jimmy Johnson's plan and went with it. He said after the game, it was all the work was pretty much done for him. The game plan was all set up beforehand. Because it had to be. Because at 11:30, he was in Hartford practicing with the Wolfpack. All right? And you can't be beamed to a place. So he had to take the 2-hour, he had to go home, had to pack, because at the time, they weren't sure whether he'd have to make the road trip because they're in Washington tomorrow and Saturday. Turns out he will make the road trip, so he had to pack, go up to New York, you know, quickly talk to the team, look at some film that was left for him to look at, and then implemented the system that was there. Stop. I mean, it's ridiculous. These people hating on David Quinn. Was Quinn the reason why Zibanejad was lost the first half of the season? By the way, Zibanejad's been playing better while Quinn was there. He was the first star of the game on Saturday when they won 4-0. So this was coming a long time before last night. So I get that you don't love him, but this is still a work in progress. And to say that Knobloch, who has zero NHL coaching experience, could come up and they win a game 9-0, and it's because of the coaching change? Come on, you're just hating.
He did win 3 titles with the Yankees, though.
Right. He gets a little bit more of an accurate thrower than Chuck.
Ooh. Quick diversion from hockey for a moment.
Please.
The NFL agreements are in place. It's been announced. Amazon acquired the rights to be the exclusive home of Thursday Night Football.
Exclusive.
Exclusive.
No NFL Network?
No. It says exclusive.
So, all right. Well, I have Amazon, so I'm good.
Football! Yes, football!
CBS retains the rights for the AFC Sunday afternoon games. All games will be broadcast on the CBS television network and stream live on Paramount Plus. ESPN continues to be the NFL's television partner for Monday Night Football. Additionally, ABC has acquired the rights to televise two Super Bowls, along with exclusive regular season games. ESPN Plus subscribers can stream one international series game on an exclusive national basis every season, and a new agreement allows ESPN the opportunity to simulcast all ABC and ESPN games on ESPN Plus. The new agreement for ESPN covers 11 years.
Wow.
Including a 10-year deal beginning in 2023 and a bridge deal in 2022. Fox has renewed its agreement to produce the NFC. Fox expanded its digital rights, including for its AVOD streaming platform, Tubi, to deliver NFL programming on digital platforms. And then NBC Sunday Night Football, they will keep that. In addition to simulcasting all Sunday Night Football games, Peacock, NBC's Universal streaming service, will deliver an exclusive feed of a select number of NFL games over the course of the agreement. And you could see just from the stuff I've read, NFL gets it. It's all going to streaming at some point. This is a nice way to transition. It's a 10-year period to pretty much warn people. This is where it's going to go permanently, but you can get a lot of stuff if you go there now on our streaming services. So I think it was important for all of the companies that got these deals to allow to be streaming it as well. And then Amazon gets Thursday Night Football, and they have it exclusively. And the fact that it's not also on NFL Network makes it something. If you love football, you're going to get Amazon Prime now.
Well, here's what I need to know, though. And this is what every fan, I think, is wanting to ask. When the Giants or Jets Thursday Night Football,
I think that it has to be a local game.
Will there be an over-the-air option? Because that's always been the case. When it's NFL Network only or ESPN only, whenever it was a cable-only game, the NFL offered the local market it over the air on Channel 11, My9, whatever. Mm-hmm. Will that be the case for Amazon?
It's not spelled out there, but I think it has to be, because then you get into antitrust stuff if you do not televise the local teams.
I agree with you, because, listen, people have had cable for 30 years and the NFL is still offering it over the air.
Right. And you've been watching.
Like, who doesn't have ESPN?
So basically,
but they still did that.
Next year, in order for us to watch every Thursday night game, you will need to just have Amazon Prime.
Right.
So if you currently have Prime, you're good.
And you know what? That's not like really going out on a limb. Prime has great programming.
It's huge. Prime's already a huge thing. And people. Now, the question is, which tier of Prime, though?
I don't think there's different tiers of Prime.
There is. There's Prime where you get their TV shows but don't get all the movies.
I have the highest tier, and the newly released movies still have to be paid for. There is no tier that everything is free.
But this will be free.
Yeah.
So whatever tier is free.
So this will be basic Prime. You have Amazon Prime, you're good.
Right.
That's what we assume. Could be wrong, but I think so.
As part of these agreements, there will be an increased ability to flex games to Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football.
Oh, see, that's
allowing
huge.
Fans to watch more meaningful games in prime time.
That's pretty significant, because I think the ESPN contract. Listen, it's great to have the NFL, but I really think it was a tough contract for us to have, Michael, because you couldn't flex, and so Monday sometimes really didn't have compelling games. And you didn't get in a rotation for a Super Bowl. You just got that one wild card playoff game. So, you know, so now to be able to flex, which pretty much guarantees you late in the season, compelling matchups. Now they won't have a flex to a week 17 because there's no Monday on a week 17, but they're still, you can change it up at least in the month of December.
One of our executives at the radio station, John Winthrop, just texted, said local Thursday games will still be on over-the-air TV and local market was part of the release. Select games will also still be on NFL Network. Select games.
I don't understand that, but okay.
So I think you can still do that. Now, the reason the other sports don't do it, like the reason why when they would put a Met or Yankee game on Facebook Live, they didn't offer it over the air because it defeats the purpose, because the majority of people watching it are local. But for a Thursday night game, you're not just getting the ratings for the local market. You're getting it all over the country because it's a national sport. The other sports can't do that, Michael, because on a Facebook Live game that we've seen recently, Mets-Phillies, what is it, 90% of the country is in Philadelphia or New York watching that game?
Yeah.
But what would the percentage be? Maybe half for an NFL game? Because there's interest outside the market. So they can do that. And it not really hurt their rating.
I wanted to give a shout out to Fox for not talking about their digital platform in this release. Because everything throughout this release is like, well, you can watch this with this.
No, the release I got has it.
And it does. So then you're going through it. It's like Fox is also expanding its digital rights for its VOD platform, Tubi, to deliver NFL programming. By the way, Tubi is actually pretty cool, but it's just crazy. I can't wait till cable comes back. People. We're almost there.
You know, those people that, you know, flipped out when the Yankees weren't like, you know, you had to print the tickets or whatever at home. To those people, climb aboard. Just go digital. You're gonna have to do it, and don't complain about it because this is the future.
No, I don't agree, Don. This ain't the future. This is the temporary. This is ridiculous. The idea of needing to sign in to 33 different things and have 10 different plans, if this is the future, we're hustling backwards. This can't be the from a consumer standpoint, this stinks. It's better for all the companies because they can individually charge more instead of just the cable companies making a ton of money. Each of these companies can make their money. But for the consumer, we're not saving anything.
No, but I,
and we have
I
more work to
that.
Do.
Well, it was for years when we talked about a la carte with cable, and it never happened. The
this
thing
is, a la carte.
Is that the NBC, all right, NBC is eliminating in a couple of months NBC Sportsnet. NBC Sportsnet was doing better ratings than ESPN2, better ratings than FS1, and they're dissolving it. Why? Because they want to put everything on Peacock. So they're looking at the future and saying, instead of investing on TV channels and networks, we're going to invest in our app. And I think that's where the future lies. Now, maybe at some point things will be bought out and consolidated, but right now they are getting – ESPN got the NHL. Why? Because they want to boost ESPN Plus. That's where most of these games are going to go.
But I do know what Peter's saying. It's going to become more expensive. Everybody complained about the cable bundle being expensive. If you get all of these streaming services, it's going to cost more.
I get that it's going to come to a head at some point, and maybe it'll be consolidated, but it's not going to go back to cable. They're not going to reinvent the network for television.
I think they will.
But all I know is if you're somebody out there that's like, I'm not getting no Amazon Prime.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
You're going to have to get it because you're going to miss out. At least in the temporary, if Peter's right, you're going to miss out.
Now, you might say, why does the NFL like get these great television deals the other networks don't? Well, the NFL is the most valuable content in all sports and entertainment. This isn't in their release, and it's true. Over the last 5 years, 24 of the top 25 and 77 of the top 100 most watched programs on television have been NFL games. It has been pandemic proof. It has been attention span proof. It's been amazing. Now, I know Peter and Don like to make plans, so I'm going to help them right here. The Super Bowl's coming up in this deal. CBS will have it in 23, 27, 31. Fox, 24, 28, 32. NBC, 25, 29, 33. And ESPN ABC, 26 and 30. You got that, guys? So you can make your
plans. Yeah, I remember all of them.
Yeah, that
26
was
and 30 in football.com.
And I was looking at some statistic where during the pandemic, whether it was sitcoms, whether it was reality television, everything was down except news. News was up 31%. And that makes sense. Sports was down 25%. All right. The NFL, what did it represent? Maybe 1% of that, if that? I mean, the ratings were a little down, like the Super Bowl was a tick down, but they didn't take the hit the other sports did. Now, maybe that was because the other sports had to play in non-seasons and the NFL didn't, but the NFL is the television product, period. It shouldn't even be judged compared to the other sports. It's his own thing.
They're probably going to get double the rights fee. If they wanted to be greedy and said, by the way, I think we want three times as much as we got last time. Somehow these networks would come up with it, and they would, because there's no other programming like it, and it can actually carry the rest of the ship.
It's
just
no
take
risk.
A look at the Super Bowl this year, right? So it's on CBS. And the show that was constantly promoted during the Super Bowl and following the Super Bowl was The Equalizer.
Sure.
The Queen Latifah vehicle, which has remained now one of the hottest new programs.
All because of that.
On television. All because of the Super Bowl.
Now, it doesn't always work.
No,
but
of course not.
I remember that 49er-Dolphins Super Bowl. So that was January 85, the 84 season.
Wow.
You know what the show was on after the Super Bowl?
No.
Cheers. Yeah, that worked.
That did work well.
Well, I mean, the show has to be good, but you're not going to get any kind of promotion like that anywhere in the world.
You don't think it helped back in the day when Pat Summerall would say, "Murder, She Wrote," and then eventually when they went to Fox, it was "Married with Children" coming up next? That's gold, Jerry.
And now it's Joe Buck talking about The Simpsons. It's just tremendous.
Hey, you know, it's a lock.
Now, speaking
it's
of locks.
It's a lock number.
Lock number is the amount of enthusiasm for Drop Madness.
Oh, my dear God.
It's
which
time.
Starts right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first day of Drop Madness brought to you by Wendy's, where quality Ooh. Is our recipe. Wendy's. We got you. We start off in the K region. Don't forget, you can see all of these brackets as well as casting your votes and making your picks on TMKS ESPN on Twitter. The K region, you have the one seed.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Neighborhood. Up against a 16. Thin the slap.
Thin the slap?
I'll tell you what, I'm saying right now, it's going to be a peskier 16 seed than you think. I have a feeling.
So then you're saying the neighborhood is might be Virginia this year.
They're going to be scared at least.
Wow.
Like Virginia the following year when it was still weird for a half. Then you have the 8 seed in the K region.
Boomer. Okay, Boomer.
Up against the 9.
I'll scream over you too.
That's tough. Okay, Boomer over against the scream. I don't know. The Peter region, we have the dangerous 1 seed. Derrick Henry. And the Purple Birds, the Ravens, against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee. I believe it will be easy work of the 16 seed.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
We also, though, of course, have a very, very live matchup between the 8 seed.
If the most you could give is $5 for a movie.
I'm sorry.
What was that?
Against the 9 seed. It's in Pompano Beach. I don't think enough people appreciate that to have it go on a deep run. I still don't know if I'm
Which
saying
one?
It wrong.
Which one, Pompano Beach?
Yeah, I still don't think I'm saying it wrong. It's in Pompano Beach.
Pompano.
I think Pompano sounds better.
Well, that's...
We go to the Don region where everyone's favorite number one and the number one overall seed in the entire bracket is playing.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
Against the 16 seed.
I haven't had a Dorito since 2015.
The 8 seed in the Don region.
Buccaneers travel to Carolina to take on the Christian McCaffrey-lessly.
Try it again.
Let's do Christian McCaffrey-lessly.
Against
you
the
said
nine
try
seed.
Again, not say it again.
The 9 seed. We go to the Nether region. The 1 seed.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Oh, that could be a winner.
But he's up against his stunt double in the NFL, the 16 seed.
The lobby is bustling. There is an energy here.
Both Both Andrew and Evan Washburn look like the Lego guy. Didn't we have a drop for that too, Andrew? I think Andrew said, I know I look like the Lego guy.
Yeah.
Something like that. I guess it was last year.
Lego. I'm not even trying to compete with
okay.
that Lego.
Okay, good.
The 8 seed.
Were you fully in the nude when Tobias Harris hit that shot?
Oh, man, was I.
Up against the day I won the 24/7 championship, R-Truth.
I'm going to get you, Michael K.
Big day for Andrew Young. All the voting. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Brought to you by Wendy's. Go check it out.
And I got to tell you, this is important stuff. I mean, yeah. Champions have to be crowned.
That's
no
right.
matter what the world's going through, they have to be crowned.
We've learned that over this year, Michael, that, you know.
Things go on.
Heroes persevere and power through, and that's the same with Trot Madness.
Andrew Marchand reporting. Mm-mm. The total of the NFL deals. Take a guess. Give me a guess.
The total of all their deals?
Yeah.
$10 billion.
I'm going to say $28 billion.
You're going to say $28 billion? Yeah. Okay.
I know it's a bit hot. I'm looking for obscene. All right.
According to Andrew Marchand, the total is $100 billion.
Wow. Wow.
Let that sink in. $100 billion. So let me do the math on that, if you let me.
Please.
$100 billion. I can't even get that on the calculator. $100 billion divided by 32.
That would be... 3 million.
I guess it would be.
I made that up. No idea. Guess completely.
30. It's got to be more than 30 million. I don't know what I'm doing here.
This is.
In a word.
Very troubling. But, you know, there's potential for Drop Madness next year here.
Why doesn't it allow
Wait,
this?
It's $100 billion, right? There's 32 teams.
Right.
So that's at least.
$3 billion.
$3 billion
a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.125
billion.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people said that Jerry Jones was crazy to buy the Cowboys for what was it 1. Wasn't it $180 million he bought it for?
You know, we always ask the question, when does it stop? Like, what could happen to where it bottoms out? Well, if it hadn't bottomed out by now when you've had, you know, a pandemic, seasons canceled, an entire season play without fans. I guess it's impossible.
You know what, though? I mean, we're very lucky as a company that the reported offer to a certain television personality was turned down because that $32 million then went into the pot and allowed ESPN to get those Super Bowls.
Well, you know what the shame of it is, though, in all seriousness? Not just it's everybody, okay? Not just this company, but everybody. Is that it does come from somewhere. You know, we do see people get laid off. You know, we do see trimming of the fat, so to speak. So when money like this is spent, sure, it's spent. But because of the pandemic, other places lose. All right, football wins. Football television wins. But it's got to come from somewhere, right?
This just
it does come from somewhere.
You see this, Michael, that one of the playoff games next year is promised to be on one of Fox's underground VOD partners, football.fart. I did not expect that from Fox.
All right, let's break. Wendy, we've got a lot of stuff to consider. The new
sometimes, Michael.
$3 million, that's what Peter said. When we divide that
No,
that could be the winner of Drop Madness next year.
Well, hold on. If I thought the question was as simple as you were asking, I would have known it was just three. I assumed you were asking a harder question that I missed what you were asking.
Oh, okay, yeah. That sounds great. Anyway, we'll be back
in just
a moment. You said
$100 billion divided by 32? That was the whole question?
That was it.
And you didn't know that was just over three?
You said 3 million.
Because I thought the question was something else. I'm sorry.
You are sorry.
What did you think, Michael asked? How much do I make a year?
That's a great question, Don.
We'll be back with your conversations regarding the big contract the NFL has just signed right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Andrew Marchand reporting. The total of the NFL deals, take a guess.
The total of all their deals?
Yeah.
$10 billion.
I'm going to say $28 billion.
You're going to say $28 billion? Yeah. Okay.
I know it's a bit high. I'm looking for obscene.
According to Andrew Marchand, the total is $100 billion.
Wow.
Let that sink in. $100 billion. So let me do the math on that if you let me. $100 billion. I can't even get that on the calculator. I don't know what I'm doing here.
This is...
in a word.
Very troubling. But, you know, there's potential for drop madness next year.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London. Join Two by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, for their annual wedding band event now through Sunday, March 21st. Enjoy 20% off all wedding bands. For locations and to make an appointment, visit twobylondon.com. All right, so we start off with the news that came down earlier today that capacity will be 20% at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field for their openers and for the first part of the season. These are the things that have to take place. To begin the season, each guest in attendance will be required to take a PCR or antigen COVID-19 test with negative results or provide proof of a COVID-19 vaccination. Each guest in attendance will be required to complete temperature checks on each game day in order to gain entry. All guests 2 years and older, including those who have received a COVID-19 vaccine, must wear a face covering over their nose and mouth at all times while visiting Yankee Stadium. I guess this is the Yankee one, except when actively eating or drinking at their ticketed seats. Facial shields without an accompanying facial covering will not be permitted. So that's how you will get in to Yankee Stadium on April 1st. Now, the thing that I'm not sure of, are they doing the testing?
I don't think so. Well, they do. It is a testing site.
Will be required to take a PCR or antigen COVID-19 test. Do you mean before they get there?
No. Yeah.
Or there?
No, how would they do it there, Michael?
Well, that's what they're doing. Aren't they doing that at Barclays?
No, you just have to bring with you. Oh, no, they might be doing it at Barclays. I know they're not doing it at the Garden except for employees.
Right.
But here's the – I mean, I guess you could do it, but here's the problem with that. It could take up to – if you get a rapid test, it could take up to 90 minutes to get the results. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a wait station for people who get tested waiting to see if they can – Like when I go to Madison Square Garden, like when I did the game yesterday, I got to get tested. I wait in the Hulu Theater, social distance, wait for somebody to come up and say, all right, you passed the test. I can then go into the building. What kind of waiting station are you going to have for people waiting to see if their tests are negative or not? So I would think they'd have to come in with some documentation that they tested negative within 72 hours or documentation that they got a vaccine. I don't think you can do. They might offer you a test, Michael, but where do you wait? Maybe somebody can answer that in Brooklyn. Where do you go? Do you leave and then come back?
Great question. I do not know the answer to that.
But we're talking about less than 2,000 people for the indoor stuff.
I'm being told it's test in advance and bring results.
Okay, so that's one thing, and that's what's happening at the Garden. The Garden hasn't done anything, and I don't think Barclay has either.
I think Barclays, you do test there because their chart, as part of their ticket price, it is a COVID test. I don't know where they wait.
Okay.
But that's part of the ticket price is to pay for the COVID test.
I guess you just can go wander around Brooklyn and then come back. I guess that's how they do it.
Which doesn't make sense because you could be tested, wander around Brooklyn, get it, get the virus, and come back.
But can you get it and then immediately spread it? I don't think you can get it and immediately spread it.
No one knows. Honestly, there's a lot
of kind of just like feels like you're feeling in the dark, right? Just trying to get an answer.
Everything about it basically is.
But the one thing that they aren't doing at the Garden is that if you're vaccinated. Now, baseball is going to do it so you can prove that you've been vaccinated. But what I kind of want to know, Michael, is just knowing the politics of this whole thing over the last year. Where will there be people who do not want to be vaccinated, who feel like they're being alienated because they have to be vaccinated in order to go into
the
stadium?
But you don't have to be vaccinated. You can also bring a test. You don't have to be vaccinated.
But I don't want to go get a test.
Well, then you don't go to the game. It's a private
business. And is that going to be a problem?
It's a private business.
Right.
No shoes, no T-shirt. You can't come in. I mean, private businesses could dictate how you get in.
I understand that, but we still have people bum rushing in a Walmart without a mask. I mean, you know, so I get concerned when you talk about this many people. 1,800 people, it's a very manageable number. But when you start talking about 10,000 people, Michael, I just hope that everything can be organized and done well. Now, I have all the confidence in the world that the security and the people that work at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field will do the right thing. I just hope that people do the right thing and we don't have issues.
I'm told that Barclays sends a test to your house. It's a spit test, and you FedEx it back.
Okay.
And the state is setting these guidelines. No other state is requiring test results. In New Jersey, all you need is a ticket to see the Devils.
Now, you decide to do that. It's opening day. You get your test. You show that you're vaccinated. But if you're not vaccinated yet, which a lot of people may not be vaccinated by the time opening day comes, I guarantee the majority of people aren't. Because it's, 3 weeks away?
April 1st.
Less than that, right?
Yes, less.
So they're going to have to get tested. Are you willing to get tested every 3 days to go to baseball?
You go to every game, right, yeah.
Because if it's 72 hours, so you're good. So baseball's every day, so... So basically, every homestand, you're going to have to go and get tested. Opening day, you'll do it, right?
Right.
But 4 days later, are you going to have to go get another test, or you're going to be like, you know, I'm good?
Well, there are other ways to do it, too. There are tests at home now, and there are different ways to do it and services that will make it easier.
And I think as time goes by, if people continue to get vaccinated, I think this will change, too. This is just a start. Remember, it was 10% a couple of weeks ago. Now it's up to 20%.
Right.
So I wonder if it's going to be up to 20% for the Garden, too. Will they all of a sudden be able to have 4,000 people?
But I don't know, Michael, because obviously they are acknowledging that it doesn't spread as much outside as inside. So right now, Yankees and Mets are at 20%. The indoor is still at 10%. So I guess we're going to see a difference. Right? Because you said it yourself. Why are the Yankees and Mets being held to the same standard as the arenas when it's outside?
And then you could also say, why is an outdoor event at 20% when restaurants in New York City are at 50% and it's smaller? It's indoors.
And Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken, Michael, is going to be up to 100%, right?
And elsewhere in New York, other than New York City... it's 75% for indoor dining. So, again, there's a lot of inequities, and we're not going to sit here and debate it because that gets people angry because a lot of people have different feelings about this. So,
well, you're trying to save restaurants and not save the Yankees and Mets. So I get that.
Now, Governor Cuomo today said something that I know Don's not going to like. He said he roots for the Yankees and the Mets. Now, the governor has other issues right now to worry about this, but how do you root for both teams?
Well,
I don't get it.
I guess if you're going to do it when you're the governor of New York.
Yeah, well, the mayor of New York only rooted for the Yankees.
And I respected that. And I did respect that. But I can also understand, Peter, when you are, you know, a mayor or a governor that you decide to play both sides.
Well, and hold on, Don. I think we have to draw a line in the sand here. Michael's theory on this, you have to pick one. To me, it's only true if you claim to be a big fan.
You're right. Yeah,
that's
you're absolutely
it.
Right.
Like if you're just,
but you can't claim to be a big fan and say that I'm a big fan of the
no,
Yankees,
you can't.
I'm okay with the Mets winning. No, you're not okay with the Mets winning, and vice versa.
I agree that that gets dicier. But let's say you know you're a random artist, you're ASAP Rocky, and you live in L.A. and you're whatever you make music. You mostly live in L.A. now, and someone goes, "Oh, who do you like? The Mets and Yankees. I'm from New York." That's fine if you're not a real fan, but once you're like, "Oh, I'm a hardcore baseball fan," that gets tricky.
The Yankees. A couple of people have said on Twitter, and I did read this. The Yankees have announced that the plan is by mid-May not to need a test to enter Yankee Stadium. So. First month and a half of the season, you will need a test. Okay, yesterday's net game against the Pacers. No Kyrie Irving, sore groin. No Kevin Durant. Durant still out with the hamstring at least another couple of weeks, so it's been a while. And they fell behind by, I think, 17 points. And James Harden is so great, he essentially won the game by himself. Another triple-double. Couldn't be stopped in the fourth quarter. They were double-teaming him, could not be stopped. Now, we all know how great James Harden is. That's not a debate. But the Nets, and this is why they were able to get guys like Irving and Durant to come here, they get these uncovered jewels, and they turn them into stars. If you watched last night's game, Nicholas Claxton is a beast. This is why they felt they could trade Jared Allen. Nicholas Claxton has been coming back from injury. They worked him slow. They have a great training staff. And he is back now. He is a force. He was protecting the rim. He can score. He's athletic. He's long. He's amazing. What a player. Out of nowhere. This is what the Nets do. They don't just draft you. They make you better. They did it with Caris LeVert. They turned Spencer Dinwiddie into a better player. That's what they do. They turned Jared Allen wasn't the player that he became when they got him. No, they turned them into these players. They see something there other teams don't see, and they coach them up. I mean, this kid Nicholas Claxton was so much fun to watch yesterday. Yeah, it was all on James Harden, but Nicholas Claxton was a huge part of what they did. This team, without two of the big three, still wins on the road against Indiana. It wasn't easy, but boy, are they good. Mm-hmm. Boy, do they have talent. Boy, do they have depth. They're really something else.
But should I be concerned, though, that they can't seem to go any length of time without somebody being out? Like, how many consecutive games has Kyrie played?
That was a lot, but I believe that yesterday, because if Kyrie's in the next game tomorrow against Orlando, I think that was, to me, I'm just guessing, that's a load management day. And they just said, you know what? He has a sore groin. He played a lot of days in a row with Harden. I mean, the one you were concerned about is Durant.
But here's, and I love him and I respect him for it, all right? I don't like the way he got out of Houston, but the fact that Harden plays every day, that's great to me. But you also don't want him carrying this team like all regular season and then be spent come playoffs.
Yeah, but if he's spent, then you're going to have a brand new Durant.
Yeah, but God, I don't. You want to take that chance and try to win a championship with a Harden that might not be 100% because he had to basically carry the team for lengths of time during the regular season? Because remember, I think one of the reasons Harden is playing at the level that he's playing is because he's the one of the three that doesn't have a ring.
Right.
And I think he desperately wants that ring, and he wants to be a leader. I mean, Durant's been there, done that. Kyrie's been there, done that. Harden hasn't. As a matter of fact, Harden's got a reputation of sometimes disappearing in the playoffs.
But this is the exact conversation we had. It's the same thing I've said about Blake Griffin. Getting someone, and obviously James Harden's a whole different level, but when you get someone to join a team like this who's never been there before, and this is it. This is Harden's entire legacy.
Right, but I don't want him, Peter, being exhausted. There's a lot of work to be done in the playoffs.
But this he has always had this workload, Don.
Yeah, this is what he does.
He loves to do this.
And
he doesn't want
in the playoffs?
Days off. Well, I mean, he's had good playoffs. He's disappeared in game sevens. I don't think he all of a sudden got fatigued in game seven.
I get it, but I mean, I still, as much as I think this team is great, I mean, I want everybody clicking on all cylinders when they get there, and there's been he plays every game with Kyrie being out, with KD being out, and now you get to the playoffs where every team, you're not going to have nights where you're taking on, you know, Detroit or Orlando or the Knicks. It's going to be a night, you know, every night you're going to be playing a playoff team once you get to the playoffs, good teams. And I think he's going to show up. I'm not saying he's a choker by any stretch, but I just get concerned. Kyrie gets his maintenance days. Obviously, KD's got his issues with his injury, and he was going to get maintenance days anyway coming off the injury from last year. And I just don't want this to catch up to Harden when he plays lights out every single night. There's a whole couple of more mountains to climb here before they can lift up that trophy.
I have a question for Peter. I thought about this, and I said Peter would be really good to answer this. You like Jim Harden. You love him. You always have.
I'm a big fan.
So he has been amazing. Over the last 15 games, he's averaged a triple-double, and the Nets are 14-1. All right? 27.3 points during that stretch. So there's some rumbling now that he should be considered for the MVP of the league. And although he's been an MVP with the Nets, do you just ignore what happened in Houston? I mean, that was part of this year. The guy did not play hard. He was out of shape, and he played for Houston. He destroyed the Houston team. I think they've lost 18 in a row. So don't you think that counts against any kind of MVP candidacy he might have?
Well,
you can't just isolate the net part of the year.
Let me start off by answering your question with a question.
Okay.
Has an MVP ever played on two teams during his MVP season?
I don't know. But I will be sure of this. If it ever happened before, nobody played as poorly as Harden did in Houston.
Agreed. But what I'm trying to say is, does it even make sense from what the award's supposed to be for a player on both who played on two teams? Unless he made both teams incredibly good when he was there or made a huge impact. His impact wasn't big in Houston this year.
No, it was negative.
He was bad. So he still had some numbers some nights, but he wasn't good. So I don't see if you played, and how many games did he play there? 20?
No. Far fewer than that.
12?
I'll look.
And how many games did he miss total between? 7? He played 8 in Houston.
Right.
So basically you'd be forgetting about the 8 he played in Houston.
Right. In a 72-game season, you are going to forget about over 10% of his season. As great as he's been with the Nets, he's been an MVP-type player with the Nets, I don't think you can ignore what he did with the Rockets or what he didn't do. I don't think that you add in how he got out of there. That's not fair. It worked for him. But you have to add in that he played poorly in Houston. He didn't want to be there. He dragged everybody down.
I think there's two things that work against James Harden for the award. Number one, what you're saying, obviously. You had 8 games where you were putrid. On top of that, Michael, because this award is what it is, the most valuable player, I always believe it's a struggle to give it to a player who's on a team that's loaded with other A-list players. How can he be the most valuable player when there can be a night where he's out and Kyrie goes for 35 and 15?
Yeah, but so far he's not the guy who's been out. So when everybody is out, he's the guy who carries them.
So you're right, that's true. But there have been plenty of nights where they both played and Kyrie's been even better than Harden's been.
True. But Harden has been a stud.
Great. How do you say that's more valuable than what Bradley Beal's been in Washington?
Because the Nets are winning more games.
But that's why
I've never understood.
That's why the
most valuable player being Cal Ripken Jr. or Andre Dawson from last place teams. That doesn't make sense. How can you be valuable on a last place team? If they take you off that team, you know what? They'd still be a last place team.
But it's the flaw of the award. It's what makes the award stupid.
There should be two awards, most valuable and the best player.
If the argument is the best player in the league this year, I think James Harden's in the conversation.
I don't know. Not with those 8 games in Houston.
Yeah, but what are you basing it on? Are you basing it on when they're available or what they are total?
I think it's
the total package.
Picture. Yeah.
So
you can't ignore what happened in Houston.
So if James Harden plays 62 games out of 72 this year when it's all said and done, and he's amazing in 62 games, is that enough? There are players who are going to be in the conversation who might have just taken off enough games to end up only playing 60 games.
Here's the thing. It's two different things. Yeah, I think if he ends up playing 60-plus games, he deserves the MVP. Forget about what happened in Houston for the 8 games that he didn't play well. Yeah, he would have done enough. The fact that Kyrie and KD do not play every game would be enough for him to win the MVP. But I think what Michael is asking, the way it went down in Houston, the mail-in in Houston, coming into training camp overweight, orchestrating his way out, can you in good conscience give him the MVP after he did something like that? Is that what you're asking, Michael? Because that's really the only thing. Every other reason, I give him the MVP.
I don't think it's hard to do that
when what he did in Houston and the way he did it in Houston.
The way I don't think can be taken into account. I mean, that's off the court stuff. The MVP is on the court stuff. So
all right, well, then I don't see any reason why you wouldn't give it to him.
Because he didn't play great in the 8 games in Houston, and he was out of shape.
It's 8 games.
That's more than 10% of your season.
But the reason he played the way he played in those 8 games was because he wanted out, and you said we're not going to count that because that's off the court stuff and that he just wanted to get out and all that. Well, that was part of the reason he played as poorly as he did in those 8 games.
Yeah, you're right.
So either you count it or you don't. And if you're not going to count it, then how does he not get the MVP?
I think,
to Peter's point about, well, he's got Kyrie and KD, well, not every night. I mean, this team has won what? How many? What, 15 out of 16, whatever it is, with KD in one of the games, and how many has Kyrie missed in that time?
A bunch, but he still had plenty. James Harden has still had way more games with one of the best players in the league than a lot of other players who could be in this conversation.
Well, the year Altuve won the MVP, he was on a championship-caliber team, and I'm sure there were plenty of nights that Altuve went 0-for-4 and somebody else won the game for the Astros. But overall, that and the fact that he cheated was able to get him an MVP. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not asking you to be great every single night, but the majority of the nights.
The Rockets were 2-6 in his 8 games. And he didn't play well on purpose. So I love watching him play for the Nets, but I can't ignore what he did in Houston. So I don't think he should be eligible. He's obviously eligible. I would not vote for him for MVP because of what happened in Houston. We also talked about the big deal the NFL announced with all its broadcast partners. Mike McCarthy tweets out that a big part of the ESPN Monday Night Football deal, they now get flexible scheduling after week 12. So they can dump the dog games late in the season, which have always been terrible. Now they could get great games down the stretch. That's awesome.
They can flex 4 games.
I like it.
Because there's no week 17, because there's no Monday night game week 17.
Now, by the way, in those 8 games in Houston, 24.8 points per game, 10.4 assists, and 5.1 rebounds. So the numbers are not terrible, but if you watched him play, he was tanking on purpose.
Yeah, and that's tough to ignore, right?
Yeah.
I'll say.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We still have to talk about the Rangers' unbelievable night last night. We'll take some phone calls as well. 1-800-919-3776. Go to Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The voting for Drop Madness is going on the first round. Tomorrow is the second round. So not the second round, the second half of the first round.
That's right.
So people are really turning out at the polls, which is very exciting. Again, at TMKS ESPN on Twitter, and Drop Madness is brought to you by our good friends at Wendy's, who stuffed our stomachs today with their fine, fine food. 1-800-919-3776. It is Kay LeGreco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.